Welcome on this beautiful Sunday morning as we gather to worship our God, our Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's wonderful to see each of you here in person, and so grateful that those who are worshiping with us online have joined us as well. We do have a very special online worshiper that we want to acknowledge this morning. He has been a long, long time member of this church, and that is Larry Beeler. He is celebrating his 93rd birthday today. So if you would just, thank you, just join me in wishing Larry a happy birthday. Today, these persons are sharing and leading our worship service. Reverend Dale Mendenhall and Allie Hall. And our music will be by the talented couple Mark and Michelle Murray. This week we have our Joy Lunch on Friday. So invite each one of you to make your reservation by Wednesday. The program today this week at Joy Lunch will be from Operation Love, hearing about their recent programs that they are doing and their current initiatives that they have in place. So please come and join us, plan on being with us, and if nothing else, just enjoy the food and fellowship that we share being together. I am seeking your God sightings. We just know that God is with us every single day, every moment of every day. And God shows up in ways that are filled with grace, offers provision, comfort, joy, strength, and so much more. Where have you seen God? And invite you to jot down some times, some places, some events that you have shared with your God, and share those with us. We would like to publish those in our newsletters, so if you have those and can get those to me, that would be greatly appreciated. These would be your God sightings. Let us now stand and greet one another with the joy of knowing Jesus Christ. As you return to your seats, let us center our hearts for worship. Thank you.
I invite you to stand as you are able for the call to worship and opening hymn. Welcome to the community of faith, the family of God. We come as families and friends seeking God's love. God's love is here for each of us. Help us to understand how we are connected to God. We are here to live in Christ Jesus, in love and compassion. May our spirits be renewed and our connection to God be strengthened, because we have a story to tell.
I'd like to invite the children down for our children's moment. All right, Kaylin. So for the last month and for this month, we've actually been celebrating the same thing. We've been learning that we are wonderfully made, and we've been using our theme, Remarkable, to learn that. So, Kaylin, why don't you go ahead and open up our bag and see what you've got today. What are those?
Sam.
Mm-hmm. Open them. And?
Acid
fruit ink pad. Yes, an ink pad. Yeah. What else would go with stamps? Yeah, a stamp pad. So, what would happen if I had a piece of paper or your hand or whatever, and I bopped one of these stamps into this ink pad and then put it on the paper?
The thing that was on the stamp would imprint on the paper.
Very good. And would it be different than the stamp? Would it be different than the stamp?
Not really.
No, it wouldn't be. It would be a perfect imprint, right? And that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about being made in the image of God. Now, we don't all look alike, right? And we don't know what God looks like, but we know that we were made in God's image. And that means we were made differently and wonderfully and remarkably and uniquely. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. So we're going to head to our class now, and we're going to sit, and we're going to watch our Bible story video, and then we've got a lot of fun games and crafts today.
We are living and breathing messages of God's love for the world. This is our work of faith and our labor of love and our connection to Jesus Christ. Like the earliest Christians, we are here in this place because of the contagious gifts of others who live the good news of the gospel. So we return now our faith and our commitment through generous giving to support the ministry of this church in Christ's name. Let us gather our gifts together and offer them in gratitude and praise. We pray, O Lord, that these gifts given will spread Christ's love, peace, and hope further than we can even imagine. In Christ's power we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
I invite you to now bow with me in prayer. O God, whose Son could see in Simon the rock he would become, we wonder at times what you see in us. We are truly grateful that you have called us to follow Jesus and to be part of your church. At the same time, we confess that at times, instead of being like Andrew and Philip in inviting others to come and see, we in the church have proven to be barriers for others, for there are those who have been truly hurt by the church. Forgive us, we pray. And hear us as we join in the words of William Barclay in praying for the church. O God, you are the fountain of all truth. We ask you to protect your church from all false teaching. Protect the church from all teaching and preaching which would destroy a person's faith, from all that removes the old foundations without putting anything in their place, from all that confuses the simple, that perplexes the seeker, that bewilders the wayfaring person. And yet at the same time, protect the church from the failure to face new truth, from devotion to words and ideas which the passing of the years has rendered unintelligible, from all intellectual cowardice, and from mental lethargy and sloth. O God, send to your church teachers whose minds are wise with wisdom, whose hearts are warm with love, whose lips are eloquent with truth. Send to your church teachers whose desire is to build and not to destroy, who are adventurous with the wise and yet gentle with the simple, who strenuously exercise the intellect, and who yet remember that the heart has reasons of its own. Give to your church preachers and teachers who can make known the Lord Christ to others because they know him themselves. And give to your church hearers who, being freed from prejudice, will follow truth as the blind long for light. This we ask through Jesus Christ our Lord, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I invite you now to stand as you are able for the hymn and for the gospel reading to follow. Gospel according to John chapter 1 verses 35 through 51. The following day John was again standing with two of his disciples. As Jesus walked by, John looked at him and declared, "Look, there is the Lamb of God." When John's two disciples heard this, they followed Jesus. Jesus looked around and saw them following. "What do you want?" he asked them. They replied, "Rabbi, which means teacher, where are you staying? Come and see, he said. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon when they went with him to the place where he was staying, and they remained with him the rest of the day. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of these men who heard what John said and then followed Jesus. Andrew went to find his brother Simon and told him, "We have found the Messiah," which means Christ. Then Andrew brought Simon to meet Jesus. Looking intently at Simon, Jesus said, "Your name is Simon, son of John, but you will be called Cephas," which means Peter. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Come, follow me." Philip was from Bethsaida, Andrew and Peter's hometown. Philip went to look for Nathanael and told him, "We have found the very person Moses and the prophets wrote about. His name is Jesus, the son of Joseph from Nazareth." "Nazareth?" exclaimed Nathanael. "Can anything good come from Nazareth?" "Come and see for yourself," Philip replied. As they approached, Jesus said, "Now here is a genuine son of Israel, a man of complete integrity." "How do you know about me?" Nathanael asked. Jesus replied, "I could see you under the fig tree before Philip found you." Then Nathanael exclaimed, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God, the King of Israel." Jesus asked him, "Do you believe this just because I told you I had seen you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than this." Then he said, "I tell you the truth. You will all see heaven open and the angels of God going up and down on the Son of Man, the one who is the stairway between heaven and earth." This is God's word for God's people today. Thanks be to God.
Contagious. That word just kind of sends chills down our spine. We think of some kind of contagious infection, right? We're kind of in this post-COVID era where they're still around, the contagious of COVID. In fact, I've heard this week that several have reported having COVID. There's flu. Even the common cold is contagious. And so we think of that as something that is infectious, that we catch, that we get. And we think of it kind of in a negative context. However, there are behavioral contagions for our behavior. We have millions of cells in our body that mimics what we see others doing, what we hear others saying. It's part of our makeup. It's how we were created to mimic certain behaviors. And so it is something that it's not infectious, but it definitely is transmitted among us. And I know you're familiar with these. Now, one that you may not be so familiar with, but it is nevertheless just as contagious, and that is risk-taking. If you've ever raised a teenage son and you've had to say, "Well, if all your friends jumped off the cliff, would you?" Folks, odds are they might. Risk-taking is contagious. Casinos have banked on this, literally. Because when you go into a casino and you see people excited about putting money in slots or making bets, your financial behavior, all your wisdom can go out the window and you follow what you see. You risk everything because of what you are experiencing. Risk-taking is contagious. Now, one that we're all very familiar with is yawning. I found yawning kind of an interesting thing because yawning, even our dogs will yawn. If they see us yawn, pay attention to your dog at home. If you start yawning, your dog will as well. It's an act of empathy for someone. And that's how science describes it. And they've recently made one very interesting observation and study about yawning, is that psychopaths, someone I hope none of us are, psychopaths have no sense of empathy for other people. They don't understand what other people are experiencing in the least. They do not respond to yawning. Just an interesting observation. Also, we have smiling. Smiling is something that is very highly contagious, and it, again, it allows us in that moment, if we're smiling because someone else is smiling, we are experiencing what they are experiencing. It can be very highly contagious. And the same receptors, the same mimic receptors that we have in our brain also causes us to frown the same way. And we can empathize with what other people are experiencing through the frowning. We can actually, there's ways that we actually can kind of step into their shoes, either smiling or frowning. But the one contagion, and there are many folks, I'm not going to spend a lot of time, but the one that I really enjoy is laughter. You don't have to have heard the joke. You don't even have to have heard any of the conversation. And if there's laughter taking place, your spirit, if not your whole body, joins right in. And so laughter is extremely highly contagious. And one of the things that research has found about laughter is that the more we laugh together, the closer the relationships become. More so than sharing anything else, it's laughter. So these are things that are good and contagious. These are behavioral contagions that we have just built right into us. There are some that are not so good, but the very powerful ones, the good ones in our lives, make a difference. Theologians and scholars, men of people of the church, have decided that this is an important thing to observe about people. Because our Christianity, our faith in our lives, living it out, can also be contagious. There's actually been research called contagious Christianity. And it's not that we are changing people, but when people go through the motions of Christianity, when they're seeing what we do, and they're modeling their life after how we behave as Christians, it opens the door to Christ in their life. It's powerful. And our gospel today, in the Gospel of John, we have a setting where others are telling other people about Jesus Christ. And they're coming and seeing Christ for themselves. Now, this is a very different story than the other three Gospels that John records about how Jesus kind of recruits, how Jesus gathers the disciples together. Because in the other Gospels, Jesus goes along and he invites people to follow me. Follow me into a life in relationship with God, and I'll show you how to do it. But that's not what happens in John. In the Gospel according to John, it is come and see, and the people who know Jesus Christ are inviting others to come and see for yourself. See who this Jesus is. Now, John the Baptist started this. He started telling people about Jesus Christ. He had his own disciples. And this message that we read this morning from John 1 is John has two of his disciples with him. And when they encounter Jesus Christ, it's basically, look, this is who I've been telling you about. Kind of go and see. Go see. Be with him. And they did. And we discover in the passage that one of those disciples was Andrew. And not only did he go and see Jesus Christ, but he had stayed with Christ, continued to follow him, and he was so excited about what he was experiencing, how Jesus was impacting his life, that he had to share it with his brother Peter. And so he did. Come and see, Peter. This is Jesus. This is the Messiah, the Christ. And so Peter did. And Peter became the disciple that basically Christianity was grown on. The Christian church didn't begin with Jesus Christ. He didn't build a structure. He taught his disciples how. And Peter became foundational in that, called the rock. And then we have Philip and Nathaniel. Philip, excited about how Jesus had changed his life and what he experienced when he had been in Christ's presence, went to find Nathaniel. Nathaniel the curmudgeon, the resistant one, the prejudiced one. Can anything good come of Nazareth? And yet, the invitation to come and see piqued his curiosity. And he was there. He went to see Jesus. And he stayed. He became one of the 12 disciples. You see, when we are in the presence of Jesus Christ, lives are changed. People's lives are transformed to become more and more and more like Jesus Christ. Lives change. That's the kind of being contagious that we want to introduce other people to. But I want you to just notice the two that were introduced in these passages, kind of the two groups of people that were brought. Andrew brought his brother, a family member. Folks, all of us have a family member that wants probably nothing to do with church. And some nothing to do with Jesus Christ. Family members can be some of the hardest people for us to bringing our own family to be introduced by Christ. But know that we don't have to change them. All we have to do is invite them. Come and see. And how about that curmudgeon neighbor that you have? That's like, not worth inviting them to anything. They're just going to tell me no. Right? Nathaniel, the curmudgeon, the one who was prejudiced against anybody who came out of Nazareth. They couldn't be anything good. And yet, all it took was come and see for yourself. Let Jesus Christ do the rest. We just open the door. We live a life that can open the door for Jesus Christ to make a change in the life. life of another. But what's in that for us? Why would we bother doing that? I mean, it's a lot easier to talk to people that we already know at church. A lot easier just to stay with the people we already know and don't have to make this hurdle of inviting somebody different to know Jesus Christ. Well, one very important reason is it's good for you. It's good for me. It can help us grow. It can make us have, it can fulfill our life. Have you ever invited someone or led someone to something and just seen them succeed in a powerful way? Well, you may not get that opportunity to see Christ at work in somebody else's life, but the potential is there. It's so fulfilling to know that Christ is now at work in their life too. It's powerful. But it's good for us because as we are trying to become more like Christ, to do what Christ has called us to do, and inviting others, inviting them with nothing else more than come and see for yourself. Just come and see. We become better people. There was a woman in a church who appeared in the pastor's office and said, I'm leaving. Not going to stay in this church. Well, the question obviously is, why? What happened? Well, every single worship service, every time I come into the church, people are just, they're just a group of hypocrites. They don't live up to doing what they say they are going to do. They're a group of hypocrites. They also just don't pay attention to what they ought to be paying attention to. Do you know that during worship, Pastor, I see people on their cell phones? That's not, I'm not saying, I'm not looking anywhere. They shouldn't be doing that. And there are people that are living wrong. They're so different than the rest of us. They should not be welcome. And she had went on. And finally the pastor said, well, before you go, I want you to do one thing for me. Pick any day you want. This was a very busy church, kind of like ours. Pick any day you want and just come in. And I want you to walk around the entire church and watch what was taking place, all the different ministries that we have taking place. However, what I want you to do is I want you to have a glass filled to the top with water as you walk through the church. She thought, well, that's a piece of cake. So she came in. The church was just bustling with ministry taking place, and she walked through the church. Very carefully, mind you, because she didn't want any of it to spill on the floor. That wouldn't do. So she walked very carefully through the church. And then she went back to the pastor's office. Said, well, I just walked through the church. I didn't spill any water on the floor anywhere. Said, good for you. The question then, did you see anybody in the church gossiping? No. Did you see anybody doing things that you would call being hypocritical? No. Did you see anybody playing a game or just nonchalantly on their cell phones during some activity going on in the church? said, no. Said, well, do you know why you didn't see any of that taking place? No? You were concerned about being the best person you could be and not spill any of the water. You were focused on being the best you could be, and you didn't have any focus on the faults of others. Because you see, they're all here all the time. This is a hospital for sinners. We're not all saints. And you see, that's true for us. As we focus on being more like Christ, we then can invite others to come and see the amazing, transformative Jesus Christ that we experience in our own life. And we can follow Jesus' model. He didn't force anyone to come into his presence. He didn't talk at them. He talked with them and to them, sharing what he had to share about life, about Jesus Christ, about loving others. And Jesus, probably most importantly, Jesus was intentional about being where they were, about having encounters with other people that needed to know him. You see, lost people need us because they need Jesus Christ. And we can open that door for them with a simple, come and see. Probably the most important reason we would do this is that Jesus commanded us to do so. And the gospel according to John very much took this to heart. Back in verse 39 of our reading, there were two disciples, Andrew and one that remains unnamed. Very intentional on our gospel writers' thoughts were all the other disciples to come. Folks, you and I are right there. We are in the presence of Jesus Christ. We know the power of Jesus Christ. And now it's our turn to step out and say, come, see. Amen. Let us sing together, pass it on.
Thank you.
are expressing God's contagious love when we are living our faith, nurturing families, serving our communities. Let us stand for the benediction. The love of Jesus Christ goes with you. It is contagious. Live it. Share it. Amen.